shot! Oh, baby, what a play!
This is Jeff Fedotin with Believe in Chiefs on the Believe Network, Kansas City's number one sports podcast network. The only place with a show for every team in KC and more. We believe in our teams. Do you believe? On this week's show, former Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Joe Valerio and I discuss the depletions to the Chiefs wide receiver core. Joe, we've of course, though, been texting back and forth about the NCAA tournament down to the Final Four. You know, an interesting note, I've been really impressed by Jay Wright, who's making his kind of media debut as a studio analyst and he's been really good. So have you been giving your neighbor, was it your vacation neighbor, were you giving him media tips? Is that why he says
that? Was tell him how to get, I think Jay can handle himself pretty well. he didn't need a whole lot of tutelage from me, for sure. He's pretty darn good at handling himself in front of me, but no, he's really doing a great job. You know, he's such a well-spoken guy. He's in tune to what's going on. And, you know, I think the thing with, you know, with Jay, you know, obviously I think he just, you know, look, he's the kind of coach. I don't think he really wanted to participate in this whole one and done thing.
NIL stuff and the transfer.
I think he loved getting players, you know, out of high school that weren't maybe five-star, building teams around, you know, good chemistry and good fundamentals. And that's what he did. And I think just the tides of basketball are changing. I mean, you look at last year's Final Four, if I'm not mistaken, was it KU, Duke, North Carolina, and Villanova, right?
Talking about some blue bloods.
So, but then look at this year.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, not that, and I think there's some arguments of why UConn's not in that category, since they'll be, you know, maybe going for their fifth NCAA championship. So, you know, they could possibly be starting to be in those conversations, but nonetheless, I mean, they're still this year a relatively low seed. They usually are a relatively low seed when they come out. So I guess, you know, you could argue whether or not they're a blue blood or not, but you look at the other schools and you're like, wow, how fast things can change. And maybe it's all this transfer portal stuff. I mean, just totally. you look at K-State, right? And I'm sure there's a lot of our Chiefs listeners are K-State fans. You know, you look at them and they had 10 players on their roster that were not on the team when they started. So as freshmen, did not start with K-State as freshmen. So right. All their starters. So it's just this whole transfer portal thing. It's almost becoming like, it's like free agency almost. So I don't know. I don't want to be a wet blanket, but it's.
That is a perfect segue that normally I would go right to our Chiefs free agency. But Joe, I'm trying to remember the Jay Wright connection. Was it you saw him at a vacation or neighbor?
Ocean City, New Jersey? Yeah. Neighbors down in Ocean City, New Jersey. Yeah. Yeah. So he's a big Jersey Shore guy. So you know, we see him on the boardwalk and see him at church and, you know, see him around town. So yeah, he still goes to the beach all the time when he's there, and, you know, he'll be out there kayaking and body surfing, ocean surfing. So yeah, he's a Jersey Shore guy for sure.
Well, Mecole Hardman is going out east too. Maybe not the Jersey Philly area, but the New York area, Joe. That was the segue. After I ruined your free agent segue, I had
I was working it. But yeah, I mean, you know, Jeff, we always talk about, it always seems to be like a focus on one position, doesn't it? Like every time we think like things are solid in certain areas, right? Bam. Like now we're going to be talking about wide receiver for a while, right? I mean,
totally, because it's not just Mecole. The Chiefs have now lost him, and Juju Smith-Schuster also went back east, the same division, to the New England Patriots. So the Chiefs are down to MVS, Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney as guaranteed kind of receivers. Joe, what's your level of concern about the wide receiver situation, or is there not? I mean, considering who we have throwing to them.
Well, I mean, I think it all comes down to, you know, staying healthy, right? Kadarius Toney can stay healthy. You know, I would like to hear more about Justin Watson. I thought, you know, just put the Cole Quaker, you know, Penn alumni stuff aside. You know, I thought he did everything they asked him to do. I mean, I think he made some big catches when he needed to make them. He didn't, you know, seem like, you know, he never really mentally cost them anything. And I would like to see, him get into those discussions. You know, I would like to see him as somebody that maybe, you know, Patrick can build, you know, a possession slot receiver around, you know, around that in that offense. So
we're talking about this a little bit off air, and it's weird. He might be a guy who maybe a little bit later on he wants to weigh his offers and might sign later, whether it's with the Chiefs or somebody else. But Joe, boy, was he dependable, and was he a guy you mentioned? Kadarius Toney was so talented but has injury issues. Sky Moore just in the second year. Justin Watson, I feel, was just so dependable. He's always healthy. When they had issues with kickoff punt returns, they could always go to Justin Watson. Like, he just consistent and reliable with a lot of upheaval. He'd be a nice guy to have in that receiver core.
Yeah, I mean, he could be, you know, I hope it's the Chiefs, because I think he really fit into the scheme well. I think Patrick really, you know, really likes him. He talked about him a lot, especially early on. And as the season was progressing, he was, you know, he was out there doing his thing. And obviously bringing Kadarius Toney, you know, was something, because they were trying to go for that little bit of that wow factor, right? That did, you know, ultimately help them. But yeah, I'm just anxious to see where it goes for Justin, because I think he's just such a good kid, and he's just, you know, he's like you said, he's dependable, he's solid, and I'm looking forward to seeing how it plays out for him, because, you know, if it's not Kansas City, I know he's going to fit in somewhere really well. The way that he fit in this year with the Chiefs. I mean, he obviously, you know, he learned the system quickly, and he made himself, I thought, you know, made a nice name for himself in Kansas City. So let's hope it works out, and that we can solidify this thing. I know there's some talk about possibility of, you know, drafting in the first round of receiver. I know there's a little bit of talk about that. Some of the name that's been, or one of the names I know that's been bannered about is Quentin Johnson from TCU. So that could be, you know, he's got the speed, he's got the size, he could play inside, he could play slot. He definitely was, you know, extremely productive in sure. college. He makes people miss. You know, that could be something that maybe Brett Veach is really working his way on, and seeing if that's that one piece now that they've been able to, you know, really solidify some other, you know, spots. Right. I mean, I think we've got obviously a couple things to do on the offensive line. Obviously we're solid in some other places. Defensive line it seems to be really shored up. So, you know, maybe that's something they do in the draft, is go after that, you know, go after that wide receiver that they need.
And maybe go after a couple guys, you know, the more kind of throw enough darts up there. And there's obviously some talk, you know, that DeAndre Hopkins might get traded. He's another guy. There might be guys available by via trade. We'll talk a little bit more about the wide receiver depth and options after the break, Joe. But I'm actually not too worried. Just last year, seeing, I was very worried, you know, after the Tyreek Hill trade, and just seeing that they can kind of bring in anybody with Mahomes, I'm really not too worried. And the other thing too is Veach seems like he's always got a plan. I remember the first year they overhauled the defense, and everyone's like, oh god, what are they doing? They traded away all these guys, you know, Justin Houston's not going to be back, they trade away D Ford, this defense is nobody. And all along he had a plan of who was going to bring in with Frank Clark and what he was going to do. So it's like, I think this is all very calculated. I think they had a certain amount they wanted to pay these guys, Juju Smith-Schuster in particular. It sounds like they wanted back, just not quite for what the Patriots were willing to pay him.
Yeah, the you know, Brett Veach and the Chiefs and you know, obviously working with Andy and everybody that they have working that cap. I mean, they put a value and sort of, I'll probably using this term incorrectly, but they put a cost benefit analysis, it seems like, on every player, that they say, well, you know, for that amount of money and what they brought to the table, we can get more value out of the money, or get more quality or quantity. Sometimes they're looking at quantity for the, you know, for the dollar. Sometimes they're looking at quality for the dollar. So they do a really good job of balancing that all out. I mean, they, you know, you got to give them a lot of credit, Jeff, because I think you're spot on when you say that from from where we were thinking about they were, you know, 2 years ago, and then last year, and the positions that were vacating on the team, you know, guys were just stepping up and getting it done. So, you know, you're right. Brett Veach always seems to have a plan.
To your point about putting a monetary value on each player and not being willing to go beyond that, we mentioned this a pot or two ago. Again, it reminds you of kind of the Patriot way, you know, that they're not going to overspend, that they have their Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes, and they're just going to put pieces around them, and they're going to, but they're going to do it at their price, which I think is a really smart way to go about it.
Yeah, but and they have the scheme too, Jeff. I mean, you know, they've got the scheme that they're
right.
You know, we've
right.
said this a ton. Right on the pod. Like they've got an uncanny ability to match the playbook to the players and the players to the playbook. And I think that's, to me, that's really the secret sauce. And I think that's what, you know, the really, really great coaches do, that they have a scheme that, you know, they can really take the talent of their players and make it work. And they don't try to jam, you know, the players into their playbook. They really do a good job of adapting. I mean, this team, you know, always looks a little bit different in the plays that they run each and every year.
Great point there, Joe. Well, Bet Online remains your number one source for all your college basketball betting this season. Get analysis of every play, prop, and point at Bet Online. You'll find the latest odds, bracket contests, team matchups, and game trends at Bet Online. Updated odds for everything from live games, conference championships, right through Final Four and championship game. Bet Online is your college basketball headquarters this season. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to sign up and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Be sure to use our promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, to receive your bonus. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts. And Joe, it's funny to think about the wide receiver position. The Legion of Zoom is no more. The core that brought them that for Super Bowl, it was all about speed. You had Tyreek Hill, mm-hmm. You had Sammy Watkins, Mecole Hardman. It'll be interesting to see if they replace some of that in the draft. You mentioned Quentin Johnson, who I think would be a great pick, but there's guys like Hyatt of Tennessee, who's a real burner. I'm also intrigued, not necessarily from, well, one of these guys has a lot of speed. I'm also intrigued by the Rosses, Joe, Justin and John Ross. Justin basically did a redshirt year as he sat out due to an injury following a successful but injury-plagued career at Clemson. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, maybe Brett Veach knows something there. Maybe he knows that Justin Ross is capable of more of an impact. The other guy that's really intriguing, Joe, John Ross. He was a former first-round pick of the Bengals, ran a 4.22 in the 40 at the NFL Combine. Now, he's been pretty much a bust. You don't get drafted that highly and, you know, just kind of flame out like he did without some issues. But Joe, he was picked 9th overall before, wait for it, some guy named Patrick Mahomes. How crazy is that? In the 2017 NFL draft.
Yeah. I mean, it's fun. It's always fun to go back and look at the drafts, right? To see where players who ultimately end up having great careers and are real contributors and sometimes where players go. And then sometimes they hit it spot on and somebody gets picked at a spot that really meets their talent. So yeah, that is always an interesting one to go back and look. I mean, obviously I'll bring him up, but you know, since he did retire this year, is, you know, Tom Brady's probably the classic, right? Mm-hmm. You could have conversations just about him, you know, about all the players that went before he did that never even saw the field of a Super Bowl, Super Bowl championship game. So, you know, pretty amazing when you can look at that. And it's, you know, but, you know, I guess, what do you think's left, Jeff? I mean, do you see anybody else that they could be going after? I mean, I'm not really big on the OBJ thing. I mean, I mean, Odell Beckham is, I don't know that I don't, I think he would distract from the chemistry of the team myself. That's my personal opinion.
Yeah. It'd be like, there are guys out there. I don't think OBJ is the, like you said, I think it's too much of a risk without enough. I mean, he's a very talented player, but like, I think the Chiefs don't need, I think they can kind of just plug holes. Yeah, I think there's even some guy. I was hoping they would have targeted Adam Thielen. I thought he was an interesting guy. Of course, he signed with the Panthers. But there are guys out there. One guy I'm intrigued with. You know, they had so much success with Kadarius Toney, a former Giants receiver. Kenny Golladay is out there. Who was really good with the Lions, and like he had like Toney an extreme disappointment with the Giants, who was like Toney seeing very little action. So there are guys out there. There's trades, and I am intrigued by the rosters. Joe, so are you could one level 1 to 10? 10, sound the alarms. We're in deep trouble. 1, not concerned at all. We're the Chiefs. We'll be fine. What's your level? What's your level of concern?
From a receiver perspective, so 10 being sound the alarm. I'm at like a 6 right now.
Okay.
Because I think it's, you know, I'm not ready to push the panic button and go all the way to a full 10 and panic, but I would like to see them shore it up. You know, mm-hmm. I don't want it to go too long. But I mean, obviously, we still have the draft. So,
right.
You know, but, you know, we see.
And it's still March, too. You know, yeah. There's like so much time for acquisitions and things like that. And so much time for that.
Yeah. Maybe even a trade. Who knows? But, right. You know, you never know. But I mean, you look at some of these dollars that some of these wide receivers, holy cow. I mean, some of the contract values of, you know, $44 million for Alan Lazard. I mean, whew, you know, that's, you know, Jacoby Myers, $33 million, Juju, $25 million. I mean, this is some big dollars out there at the top. And then it drops off pretty quickly. Once you get past like Darius Slayton signed that, you know, he signed that $12 million deal. And then after that, it does drop down a little bit. Where there's not as much of the, you know, the big dollars out there. And I know a lot of people were getting on Mecole Hardman for, you know, for the $4.5 million deal that he signed with the Jets. And, you know, people were wondering whether or not he should just retire. I'm like, I think I'd take the $4.5 million, if it were me. But you know, there's, you know, I just don't know. I would like him to shore it up. So I'm at about a 6 right now. I'm not full on, pushing the panic button, but I would like to see them shore it up and maybe, because I don't know, receivers, impact players right away. It's, you know, from a draft perspective, it doesn't seem like it's a place to go if that's you want true. Somebody to make an immediate impact.
That's a great point. That receivers that's often a position that doesn't translate into instant success. Quite as often, even the players who are really good. I think that's changing a little bit as colleges get more and more pass friendly, but that's still a great point. And I think Kadarius Toney, like, what a smart acquisition that was. I mean, in my mind, he basically won them a Super Bowl, if nothing else. But I think there are concerns with him, just given his injury history. He reminds me a little bit of Percy Harvin, Joe, that mm-hmm. a guy uber talented, great after the catch. They're both from Florida. They're both like kind of the receivers, but they're kind of running backs and stuff. They had a little bit of a checkered pass. Percy Harvin, actually, he had a lot of issues, but he helped win the Seahawks the Super Bowl. He had a big play, a touchdown, I think, against the Broncos to win that one. So anyhow, I think that's a little bit my concern, that like Toney, I think, is so talented. But if he's your number one, I just worry how available he's going to be with injuries and whatever else. That's where I'm concerned. That's if I have some concern, it's about him.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, look, you know, like you said, right? Just to recap, you got Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, MVS. Like, not bad three right there.
Yeah.
Right. I am a little bit. You know, I'm still stuck on this Justin Watson thing. Like, I'm still disappointed that he's not getting named in some of these. You know, you go online and you Google.
Yeah, he's not mentioned, right?
Mm-hmm. Chiefs receiver. Somebody knows something that we don't know, right? Because they're putting, you know, Amir Smith-Marset and Cornell Powell and the Ross, you know, John and Justin Ross. They're putting them all up in there before they're, you know, as potential Chiefs outlook for 2023, then Justin's not even getting in the mention. Maybe it's because he's, you know, he actually is a free agent, I guess. and that they're not maybe counting him in until he's signed, but
I think that's why. But you're definitely right. It's weird how quiet it's been. Just he did have a good year, and you haven't had heard much about him. And I'm sure he made himself. He's going to make more money than he did. Kudos to him, the way he performed last year. I also wondered too. Joe, I think that might have been he won a ring with the Buccaneers, didn't he?
He did.
He's now got two rings. Part of me thinks like. If I'm Justin, maybe I go just for the most. You always obviously want to win, but you've got two rings, you know. Like maybe go to where you can get the most money. But who knows? We're certainly rooting for him to be back on the Chiefs to chase your record of most touchdown receptions by a Chiefs player who attended Penn. So
exactly, he's already got the first University of Pennsylvania player to play in a Super Bowl, which is cool. So, some of the Penn greats back, like Chuck Bednarik, and some of the names you have to go a little way back there. They, obviously it wasn't the Super Bowl back then, so it was just the NFL championship back in the in the 50s and 60s. So, he definitely is the first Penn player to actually play in a Super Bowl, which is really cool. So I think that's a nice. But you're right, that's a great point, Jeff. He could be just thinking about, all right, got those. Check, right? Played with Tom Brady, played with Patrick Mahomes, two Super Bowl rings, check. I'm going to go cash a check at that point. So maybe that's his MO at this point. You couldn't blame him for that.
That's pretty cool. That really is pretty cool. Joe, the other thing I wanted to talk about too is just this is the week of the owners' meetings in Arizona. And I don't know if you saw this. It's kind of fun. This amuses me so much. Like I showed it to like my wife, I texted some of my friends that they always, because it's like straight out of a yearbook, they make all the coaches line up and like take a picture. They do this every year. I don't know if you saw the photo.
It's really, I haven't seen this one yet.
Andy Reid is next to, it's almost like they intentionally, like Sean McVay, who's super close to LaFleur of the Packers, they were coaching colleagues. Like they're seated next to each other. McVay is looking all cool, is in sunglasses, of course. And Andy Reid is next to Bill Belichick. They're pretty close, or kind of the two senior, if you will, the most two most accomplished, two most senior. Pete Carroll's in the mix too. But it's very funny to see them all lined up. And so I encourage listeners to go out there and try and see if you can identify all the coaches out there.
Yeah. I know, right? And this has been, and these owner meetings, you never know what they're talking about. I mean, I'm trying to think if there's anything coming down the pike that I could think of that I've heard, rumors about things that might be changing, or, I don't know. What do you think, Jeff? I mean, you thinking that we could see any new rules coming out? Obviously, they're going to be talking about the butt push, right?
Or
whatever.
Right, which was a big part of the Super Bowl with how he, I thought about this, Joe. That rule really works against the Chiefs because it makes the Eagles were so good at Jalen Hurts is already so good at quarterback sneaks, but he's so good at it already. And then you get a push behind him like in rugby, he's really hard to stop. And the Chiefs just aren't going to be quarterback sneaks after that's how Mahomes got injured. So as quarterback sneaks have become easier with this push, Chiefs are kind of more and more at a disadvantage because that's not ever going to be in their arsenal with a Mahomes a quarterback. Kind of an interesting thing there.
Well, and that whole thing with the QB sneak, I mean, you saw what Chris Jones, right? He's best defensive tackle in the league, right? If not the best, one of the best, right, in the NFL. He's huge. He's big. He's strong. He's powerful. He dives over the center, over Jason Kelce, hits Jalen Hurts right in the face mask. I mean, couldn't have hit him any more square, right? And then they still get the first down, right? So that one alone was probably, that one alone was probably an obvious reason why they would need to relook at that rule, right? Because if it's anything and a yard and a half or maybe even 2 yards, I don't know what else defenses could do, right? Because then now they're going to have to put three Chris Joneses in the middle, and then all of a sudden, obviously, then you go off tackle, right? Like you just fake the sneak and then you do something else. So I don't know. I'm all for aiding the runner. Like, I love some of the things you can do out in the open field now with pushing a runner, but man, that whole thing with the QB sneak is hard. I don't know how they're going to enforce a rule change like that. Like, how do you enforce if you allow it to happen on other parts of the field, you know, then what do you say? You say only if it's less than 2 yards to go or something. Like, it's going to be hard. That's going to be a hard one. That one's, well, I'm anxious to see how that all plays out.
Peter King was talking about in his Monday column that it's always a good read. And Joe is somebody who played in the trenches. I'm curious your take. Like, he was wondering this. He was talking to people like, how do you stop it? And one of them is potentially how Chris Jones went flying over. Another way, the other methods, one of the coaches was talking about, he was unnamed, was you try and just submarine things to go real low. Another thing was just to try and really mess with the cadence to try and figure something out there. But not a lot of great options to stop it. It's a pretty unstoppable play.
Yeah. So it's just interesting when you come across something like that in football, like what do you do? Right. Like, I'm sure if you go back in time and you look at different developments that have happened, you know, offensive or defensive developments, I'm sure there's been something that we can't think of right now that has caused, you know, some say, wow, we need to change the rules because of this. Right. I'm sure probably early on some things with the forward pass or, you know, something in the kicking game. I'm sure there's been some things that have, you know, people have said, man, that's pretty unstoppable. Oh, here's one. I remember you used to be allowed to stand on players' shoulders and they used to make, they would get on someone's shoulders and to block field goals. And they would make like a wall, like a human wall. And they stopped that one. Right. They stopped being able to launch yourself off of a player, right? You can't just jump and like jump on somebody's back and like launch yourself. So, you know, that would be unstoppable, right? If you had players doing that kind of stuff on like field goals or something, you know, somebody literally like jumping on Chris Jones's back and like him jumping up in the air and like launching somebody to block a field goal, right? Like, that would be crazy to see. So, you know, there's always going to be something on the field that's going to be quote unstoppable that you got to change the rules for. And this might just be one of them.
Well, if you enjoyed this show presented by Bet Online, please subscribe. We're available on your favorite directories, iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, Luminary, and TuneIn. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.